As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hello, White Sox fans, and welcome to the Future Sox podcast, part of the Just Baseball Media Network. My name is Ian Eskridge. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Mr. James Fox. Tonight, we're going to be getting into Anthony Kay, the Rule 5 draft preview, winter meetings, the draft lottery coming up this week, among a bevy of other topics, I'm sure. How are you, James?
Good, man. What's up?
Oh, you know, it's a exciting day today.
And, yeah, winter meetings are always cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what comes of it. I mean, I don't know what to expect here actually out of the winter meetings.
Yeah. But... yeah, like Bob Nightingale is trying to throw cold water on it, on all the excitement. I tweeted something today cuz you know, like everybody always kind of says like do the opposite of what Bob says, right? Which is kind of funny. Like he's already like messed up a signing. So in his article today, he said, like, he doesn't really expect much to happen. He thinks it will, like, over the next couple of weeks, but, like, not much at the meetings, right? He's going to be pretty slow. So then I quote tweeted it today and put, like, it's going to be crazy at the meetings then because, like, you know, Bob says otherwise. So it's pretty funny.
Bob's generally about 65% off on whatever he says.
Well, it's really interesting because, like, I love his, like, Sunday column because he's got all these notes in it. And a lot of, like, he nails, like this manager is going to be fired or, like, you know, like, this guy's going to win MVP or, like, some of that stuff, right? But, like, yeah, like, some of the random stuff he tweets, like, this is close to a deal. And then it's, like, debunked, like, within 5 minutes. It's, like, crazy.
Yeah, the Zach Gallen signing.
Yeah, not signing.
That was impressive.
Well, it also doesn't, like... it doesn't make sense for the Cubs yet. Like, if you told me they ended up signing Zach Gallen, like, okay, like, that would be fine. But, like, I would assume that it would be after, what is it, Tatsuya Imai signs elsewhere and Michael King goes elsewhere and then the Cubs are settling for a Zach Gallen. Like, getting out ahead of it and signing him first, like, doesn't really make much sense to me, which is why I was kind of surprised when I saw it.
I mean, I don't know as if I'd necessarily say that you would. I mean, because if you wait on those guys and then Gallen goes elsewhere, I mean, they need more than one pitcher. So I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get out in front of it and kind of backfill the rotation a little bit first.
Yeah.
And then go for the home run after that. But
well, I assume Gallen's going to make $20 million plus, though, like AAV. Right? I mean, everybody does now. Yeah. So I just didn't know if they were going to sign two $20 million pitchers when you have, what's his face? You have Shota back. So Yeah, I don't know. See how quickly the pitching market moves. I mean, Cease took his best offer. So I wonder if like those next guys come off the board here.
Did you find something? Did you? So the Toronto kind of using some of that money to pay taxes?
Yes. I saw that.
I found that to be kind of interesting. So he's not actually technically making what he's making.
No, and the reports were that like the Cubs and some other teams bowed out when it got over $200 million, but like it's not even really that much. Like,
yeah, I found it kind of interesting that the reported money isn't actually what he's getting, that they're actually using some of it for other things. That's just kind of strange, I thought. I don't know.
No, it was kind of weird. I feel like they might sign a bunch of people, though, and just have, like, a huge payroll.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the Cubs aren't going to do that because we heard on Inside the Clubhouse that the Cubs are having problems monetarily, apparently.
Did you listen to it?
I did, yeah.
Like, dude, nobody cares, man. Right? Like, nobody cares about that. Like, I'm not a Cubs fan. I try to, like, not, obviously, right? I try to, like, not speak for them. But, like, the smart ones that, like, I know, like, they don't care, dude. Like, you're the Cubs. You have, like, what, the highest priced tickets in baseball? And you're going to, like, complain about, like, how much revenue sharing? Like, nobody cares. Like, they never bring up, like, all the money that they make on Gallagher Way and, like, outside of that ballpark that, like, all goes in the Ricketts' pockets. It's all like, oh, well, we just do this, and then we subtract, and then after we pay everybody, then that's what we can spend on baseball. Like, that's a load of garbage. Like, stop. You're, like, insulting people.
Yeah, and then they also the thought that, oh, well, it costs so much money to keep Wrigley up and going.
Right. Yeah, they own their park.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they own their park, and yeah, it's going to take a lot of money to keep it open because it's like 120 years old.
Right.
130 years old. Like, how is that surprising?
Yeah, and because they own it, they like get to keep all the money they make off of it, too.
Yeah. Oh, but the taxes. The taxes are very expensive.
I would be furious if, like, that was, you know, like, Brooks Boyer's not. Like, Brooks Boyer's pretty tone deaf, but he's not that tone deaf. Like, it's like, dude, come on. Like, what are we doing here? It's
yeah.
Like, oh, we have to pay the most like to these small market teams that don't like. Yeah, we understand how it works.
Yeah, I mean, I get what Bruce and Haw are saying, that they bring him on because they get really good answers out of him most of the time. My problem is like the stuff that he says like is just tone deaf to
right.
the fan base.
Yeah, like even if it's true, like it doesn't matter. Like. You know, like I've had this experience like recently, actually, like this weekend, like if you go to like a nice restaurant and like the service is really bad and like they can give you like, oh, well, this party over here was here and like we had trouble with it and like we're short staffed. Like it, I don't care. Like it doesn't matter. Like just get the stuff out to me. Like nobody cares. The Cubs yep. fans should not care.
Yeah.
Just spend money and win. Everybody else does.
I know in our group chat we talked about that Harry Ford deal.
Yes, I think you and I are aligned on this.
I don't see a parallel between Harry Ford and either Edgar Caro or Kyle Teal.
No, me neither. I don't know that Harry Ford can catch or hit. And I know that the jury's out on both of our guys still, right? Like Teal looks, look, if Teal does what he did last year, like he's going to be a star, right? We're both fans of Edgar Caro. Like Ford has never hit outside of A-ball and he plays in the PCL. And there are people who don't think he can catch full time. Like I think J.J. Cooper said that he doesn't even have him as a top 10 catching prospect in baseball. We know the name, right? Like, I think it's a good deal for Washington. Because
yeah,
you're bad and you traded a reliever for a guy who like might be able to start for you. But like if you're Seattle and you're trying to win, like it's not the worst thing in the world. Like if your lefty's awesome and he has 5 years of control, like I get it. I really don't think it's too much, you know. Like lots of people don't know who Jose Ferrer is. I don't either. But like I watched him a little bit and I looked at his numbers and like, yeah, I get it. Like it, you know, they traded a guy who's blocked that's never gonna play for them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not I'm not enamored with Harry. I've never been enamored with Harry Ford. For me, it's always been, what they projected him as before he was drafted. And, like, pretty much none of that's been realized. You know, like you said, he hit an A-ball and he hit in the PCL, but everybody hits in the PCL. Right. And his numbers weren't all that great in the PCL, like, to expect him to be a good major league hitter. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that trade's fine for Seattle, especially if that guy's good. They're trying to win.
Yeah. Hello to everybody that's hopping in the chat here. Good to see you guys tonight. So White Sox sign Anthony Kay from the NPB. In the channel description or in the stream description, there is a link to Adrian's article on Anthony Kay, which is a lot of info in there. But just for some background here, first rounder in 2016, the Zach Collins, Zach Birdie draft to the Mets, traded for Stroman, played for the Mets and the Cubs, left the Cubs, went to the NPB, and reworked his arsenal and his mechanics. He's six pitch mix, fastball 94, 95, has hit 98, I guess. So here's a question. Playing in the NPB, their baseball is minutely smaller than the Major League Baseball. I don't know if that's going to make a huge difference or not. Just something to throw out there.
Yeah, you would think it's something they thought about, right? I mean, look, I'm fine with this. Like, whatever. Like, I don't know that he's going to be any good. I think there's some upside. I mean, if you were going to do, like, a Martin Perez type thing anyway, like, I'd rather gamble on this guy than re-sign Martin Perez, right? Hey, Bobby K, what's up? Yeah, I saw this guy like all over Twitter. I followed him the other day. So welcome to the party, pal. I think it's fine. I mean, the White Sox have done this obviously when they brought Eric Fetty over. I think if Anthony Kay is like that level of guy, I think it's a great signing for $5 million. Yeah.
Value for that.
Worst case scenario, he's a back end arm and he eats innings for you. And kind of like what Aaron Civale did last year. Either way, makes a lot of sense for the White Sox. So, it's good. I'd much rather do this than random journeyman lefty that we know of. That's like super old.
The deal, 2 years for $10 million, with a third year with a $2 million option. And if they do sign him, it's $10 million. That's a great deal. And he threw, 155 innings in Japan last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're going to get some innings out of him. I mean, I don't know, you know, we'll see how the length goes and everything in his starts, but, looks like a pretty good deal.
I like that he's not like a soft tosser too. It does seem it seems like more two seam than four. Like that's where he really like took off. Like the four seam fastball is not great. I don't know that it has to be, though, you know, if it's like a bunch of ground balls and you're like not giving up homers. So, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, led the NPB in ground ball rate last year. I find it interesting that when he was over there, the guys that he picked the brains of the most, I guess, was soft tossers that were living in zone to figure out a way to get better in his performance.
I figured a lefty of some sort was coming. I think it's interesting that it's like been widely reported that they're probably going to sign like somebody else too. I don't know what like level of that guy is. I think what we didn't see like Dustin May rumors, but I think guys like along that line, I'm curious to see if it'll be that much of a flyer, if it'll be more of like, you know, somebody that you can count on than that, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how good you feel if those are like the two pitching additions, right? And Shane Smith's like your opening day starter or whatever, but it does seem like they're going to add one more guy.
Yeah, and so Bobby brings up that he also started going heavy on the cutter as well.
How would Bobby know? Oh, sorry. That's fine.
Yeah. So this is one thing that the White Sox have been talking about, getting their guys to start throwing a little bit more, going more with a cutter fastball. So this kind of just plays right into that. So that's, I would imagine that this is a Bannister approved signing, as they all are, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, they haven't announced the deal yet, so we don't have any of the quotes from, like, the White Sox people, like, what Chris Getz thinks, right? Like, I've heard, you know, right away, like, you listen to the podcasts and whatever, and people are like, is it a starter? Is it reliever? Like, I think it's pretty clear he's, like, coming here to start. You know, like, you could always move to the pen if, like, something goes awry. Obviously, he was in the bullpen the last time he was in the big leagues. But, I mean, yeah, this is a starter move for sure. I'd be curious, like, whether we could find out in the future or tonight, like right now in 5 minutes, if he was like working out somewhere and like they, you know, like knew him, that sort of thing. I think there's like,
like
Ben Brewster or somewhere, Tread or whatever, you know what I mean? So Bannister's pretty plugged in with all that stuff. So that would, I'd just be curious.
Yes, indeed.
So Mike Soroka would be an awesome addition as their number two. So here's the thing, like, I'd be totally on board with signing Mike Soroka, but like I like prefer signing him as a bullpen guy and just like I wouldn't want to commit to him starting. I just, you know, I kind of thought when the Cubs traded for him last year that it was a really smart, shrewd deal. Now, I obviously didn't have access to like his medical records that said that his shoulder was about to fall off again. But I just kind of thought, you know, you get to use him in like three inning stints. Like, his stuff was gross. Like, Soroka was really good in a bullpen role with the White Sox 2 years ago, but it was just going to be too much money to keep him. And he was hurt, so they couldn't trade him. So yeah, I've been pretty impressed with Soroka, but not if you had to start him every fifth day.
Yeah. I wouldn't start. I wouldn't have him as a starter. I wouldn't trust him to be a starter.
Right.
I think that's.
But if I saw one of these, like, they signed him for $7 million and they're like, we're going to let him close, I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, we know that they're going to need some bullpen guys here. So.
Are there any other questions we need to get to before we move on? There is like a ton of stuff. Thanks, guys. I'm kind of like scrolling through here. I don't want to miss anything, but I think a lot of it, some of the stuff's getting answered in the chat, like from other people. So that's good.
Let's see here.
But yeah, there was like Cubs stuff. Yeah, Tamar Johnson, I think that's a good call. So Tamar Johnson's similar to Harry Ford. Like, I would imagine like Tamar Johnson will get traded in a deal here for like a young veteran position player, and people will be like, oh my God, they traded Tamar Johnson. And then he'll probably like not turn into anything either.
Yeah, I've been watching him for several years, and I just have never been impressed. You know, not that he's necessarily bad. He just, you know, the bat to ball's not as good as you would hope, and he doesn't get on base enough to use that speed that he has. So
yeah, and like I just like the problem is when you have these extreme hit tool guys, but then they don't have extreme hit tools. Like when they get into, it's like a Nick Madrigal thing, right? Like when your 70 hit is actually a 50 and you don't have a bunch of other things going for you, it's like you're like a borderline big leaguer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even sure that he's close to being a big leaguer personally.
Yeah.
Like if he makes it there, I'll be pretty surprised.
I bet Uncle Ted likes Tamar Johnson. It's a pretty left-handed swing.
I've seen him comment on him before.
Yeah. Pretty left-handed swing, for sure. Thoughts? Yeah. Somebody asked thoughts on Notre Dame. I'll do it later.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a couple of things that need to be.
Yeah, the system. The system's dumb. I don't like Notre Dame, but like the system's dumb. So.
Yeah, it is. I don't disagree.
Trey asked about the Rule 5 pick. I'll get into it. You got to stay the whole time. No, I'm kidding. It might be soon.
So Mike's bringing this up, and I think this is a topic that I feel is worth discussing. We haven't really gotten into it too much. Three years removed from Project Birmingham, with the Barons' success and the core in Chicago, was it a success?
I mean, it's not a failure. I think it's fine. I guess I don't really know, like, without being like on the ground there, I don't know how much it mattered. I didn't love like over promoting dudes that like weren't ready and having them struggle in AA, even if the team was like, oh, we don't really care about like their failures, right? Like, we're not going to hold it against them. Like, it still sucks if you're like the kid that's like struggling against AA pitching, right? Now, I do understand like having them all in like the same location, like your top guys, and then having all your instructors there, like that's kind of cool. And like, I think Chris Getz, like, I think the minors have kind of moved towards that, right? Because the fewer and fewer affiliates that like we're going to have going forward, like all your talent is going to kind of be like in the same spots, and they're going to be there for less amounts of time. So like, I thought that part was cool. Like, here's all of our best people, getting our eyes on all of our best people. But there were definitely some negatives, because like the games still count, you know, like as much as, look, like we can say, like, you know, like I get it, right? Like, yeah, like nobody really cares about what somebody did at AA, like after they're like a big league star, right?
I mean, two rings in a row is nice.
Yeah, but like you could have been promoted there from Kannapolis and like struggled and like mentally like never got it back because of that. So yeah, I think it was probably, I don't know.
That's
that,
fair.
I don't know. Success is probably strong, but I mean, it was probably fine. And Mike, look, Mike might have more info on it than I do, honestly. So
possibly,
you know, like if guys liked it and thought that it really helped, like that would be cool. I don't know that Project Birmingham was what like propelled Getz to like the general manager role, but it was his idea. So he like gets credit for it if it was a success.
Yeah. So I kind of look at the whole thing as kind of like a minor league baseball equivalency to like a company retreat at a cabin where they're doing trust falls, you know, and have a motivational speaker come in. And it's nice, you know, that you get all these guys together and that they get to work with each other. And I think obviously that's going to build some cohesion. And, you know, hopefully get some friendships with these players in the org. And I think that that can only help the actual team work going between the guys. Now, you know, can you call it a success? I don't know, you'd have to figure out a quantifiable way to figure out whether you would call it a success. I think that it was an interesting idea at the time. In a year that it was inconsequential, that the game still mattered, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I get that. So Alex said that, so this is one of the guys I thought of. Alex said Project Birmingham killed Westcath, right? And then baseball said Westcath was never good.
No.
You know what I mean? So I'm pretty sure the White Sox feel like the latter, like that Westcath isn't good because like Westcath just, they missed and he wasn't going to ultimately be good enough. Like, I don't think it's necessarily because of that, but you know, I'm sure it doesn't help when you go and hit 140 in AA for 5 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen improvements in his game over the last couple of years. The unfortunate thing is that, the bat to ball hasn't been the thing that's improved. His defense has gotten a lot better, and his patience at the plate's gotten a lot better. Unfortunately, that hasn't translated to him putting up better numbers.
Well, it's the thing,
and
we
his
all
injuries have been bad too.
It's just the thing we always say about corner guys, right? If you're gonna play, he's just gotta rake, and he hasn't. So it's just like very, very hard if you're like first base, third base. Kevin, we did not talk about the lottery yet. We will.
He was we'll get to
he
it.
He was like afraid that he missed it. No, we were screwed.
Yeah, no, we didn't miss the conversation on it. I might have mentioned it already that it is on Tuesday.
Yeah, but it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday at 4:30.
You know, we've got a call from Uncle Ted for Adolis Garcia.
Yeah, I'm done with guys that don't walk.
Yeah, he likes swinging the bat.
He's right-handed, for sure. Ted, what are you doing?
He's totally going. He's breaking the mold here tonight. I do not know if DJ Gladney signed yet. Baseball. I'm actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't heard anything, and I feel like I would have heard something had that.
If he went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So again, winter meetings started today.
I think they technically start tomorrow, but people are there, so like stuff could happen tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I saw that Courtney Finnecombe said that she was sitting next to Rick Hahn on a flight to Orlando.
I saw that. Yeah, I wonder what Rick's doing. Is Rick doing MLB Network stuff, or is he? Yeah, it's Orlando. Is he networking? Is he trying to get back in? You know, I don't know.
I was kind of curious about the same thing, and she said that she talked his ear off. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I would assume that maybe he's finally ready to get a job again.
Yeah, I might reach out to Courtney and ask her. Be like, hey, what did you guys? What did you guys talk about? So Courtney, one time, this is great. So I totally agree with her on this. She has this idea where one of the, you should have a concession stand at the ballpark that's all breakfast food for, 1 o'clock games or something. You know, I totally agree. Like, I would, go get an omelet at the Sox game if that was an option.
At least have it in the stadium club.
Yeah, right. Just, know that I'd like to know that I can if I'd like to.
One thing that I've always wanted at the park that they still don't have, and I do not understand, how do they not have a coffee stand?
I know. It is crazy, right?
Usually, when I go to a baseball game, I usually drive there, and I usually got my kid with me. I'm not, going to be pounding back beers all over the place. I drink a coffee, though, but I can't get one. They don't have them anywhere.
Yeah. Kev, it's Courtney Finnecombe. She's with Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball Isn't Boring podcast.
Yeah,
yes.
She does that. Yeah, that one. and then Alec asked me about Ethan Bass, White Sox Rule 5 guy. I think he's from Northbrook. Somebody can correct me. Chicago, northern suburbs. So I think the best players in the area are he and Landon Tomey. Probably second roundish types, both of them. So yeah, he's just a athletic outfielder. I think he hits from the right side though.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do us a favor, and I'm gonna go ahead and link your Rule 5 article in the the video description here. I meant to do it earlier.
Yeah, I got some names for that.
I got sidetracked.
Is that next? Or do you want to go chronological?
Well, I was gonna go to the draft lottery.
Yeah, we'll do that first.
Just because I was doing it chronologically for
Tuesday.
How the week is gonna go here.
Yep.
As we have talked about. The draft lottery is on Tuesday at 4:30
Central. Yeah, we're going to hop on right before it and get rolling.
So, I don't know. You want to go ahead and go through these percentages?
yeah, so I sent them along. I mean, it's a little bit different than it was because these three teams are bumped out similarly to how the White Sox were last year. Essentially, Colorado's picking 10th, Washington's picking 11th, and the Angels are picking 12th, right? So, that's happening. White Sox have a 27% chance at landing the number one overall pick, which basically gives them, a 51% chance of top two and close to a 70% chance of picking top three. So, those are pretty good odds. The lowest they can pick is 7, because the way they do this, the reason why Colorado is at 10 is because the White Sox are guaranteed pick 7 no matter what. Minnesota's guaranteed 8 no matter what. And Pittsburgh's guaranteed 9 no matter what. So basically, those top three teams can't fall further than 9, if that makes sense. So that's why this is, done the way that it is. And then, the way they do it on TV is, really weird. So one of the things to look for, when this first starts, is the Mets. So the Mets are supposed to pick 17th. So the issue with the Mets is if they get top 6, they get to keep their pick. But if it's not top 6, they're picking 27 because it drops back 10 spots because they spent too much money, according to baseball. So to know that this thing is on track Tuesday, Cincinnati will move from 19 to 18, and then Houston will be 17. So if Cincinnati and Houston are the first two names, you know, that we see, like it's 18, 17, like then we'll know that like it's like on track essentially. And then what they typically do is like they show all the teams up on the side if nobody's ever watched this. And if a team gets leaped over, then that means they're in the top six somewhere, basically. So, you know, that first segment is generally like picks 18 through 7. If the White Sox are not in there, obviously, like they're not going to be in there. It would be if they're not 7, they're in the top 6. And then it'll go to commercial and, you know, we'll probably be freaking out the whole time.
Now, the reason why, James, that I really wanted to do this draft lottery stream is because I wanted to have the live reaction on video, just you know, for viral sake, you know, just in case I start breaking keyboards or something, you know. let's hope that is not the case.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know how to react. I mean, so Kev said, what is the pick number the Sox get where you're disappointed? I think you and I are probably a little different on this. I think for me, like for me, if they land a top three pick, I'll be fine because I think they'll have enough of a bonus pool to where they could like make sure they land like one of the top three players, like depending on who leaps them. Like they could theoretically pay the second player down to three potentially. But I mean, like four is where I start to get kind of annoyed. Like four is like, come on, it's like ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with Jay McNasty here, where he says getting top two. If I would be okay with number three, but ideally one or two.
Yeah.
You know, if we drop below that, I don't like the pool value going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives you less to play with as you go through the draft. You know, you don't, well, you I think can't, that, you know, you can't give like that higher, you know, monetary value to somebody in the second round to really maximize the draft. It's just, yeah.
Right. But I think by three or four, like it just like kind of changes, right? I think if you're picking one, you have to take Rock Chalowski. And if you're picking two, like, you know, like Grady Emerson's the best high school player in the class. Both of these guys would have been the number one pick overall, like the last couple of years, probably. You just do it and you pay like what it takes. But once you start getting into that 3, 4, 5 range, I think that's when you start potentially looking to cut a deal. And then, you know, you're spending $4 million potentially at your next pick. It just kind of changes like the whole strategy.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to bring this up here from Uncle Ted. Wherever JoJo Parker was taken by the Blue Jays last year,
he was taken 8.
Here is the problem for me with that. A, the bonus pool is way worse down there, which I mean, we get top 7 probably, you know. So if say we got number 7, you know, it's the pick before JoJo Parker was taken. The problem with that also is that there are two, you know, like you said, there are two guys in this draft that would have been picked number one the last couple of years. So that's ideally why you want to get one or two in this draft along with the added pool value.
Yeah. And then baseball asks, like, is there a chance if the Twins win the lottery, they pass on Rock? I think that stuff is like too early to answer. I don't know who he's being represented by. Like what the record is still, I think like 9.3 million is the bonus record. And the number one pick will be well over $11 million. Rock Chalowski is not getting full slot from anybody. But he definitely breaks the record and he probably gets $10 million. So that's the one thing, right? Like, say the White Sox have the number two pick. And this is just an example, right? White Sox have the number two pick and it's worth like $10.6 million. And the Twins pick is at number one and it's like over 11. The White Sox can offer Rock Chalowski their full slot at 2, which is like 10-6, which means the Twins have to beat that. Otherwise, like, why would he sign with them? You know what I mean? That's just that's the type of thing where, like, the Rockies did that with Holiday this year. They pushed him down to 4, but they paid him close to what number one would have paid anyway. So It's all money games at the top. So, no, like, look, he's not guaranteed to go one, but, I mean, it seems like that's pretty likely at this point, unless somebody goes all Paul Skeens, right? And it's like, all of a sudden, there's like a generational ace at the top.
I mean, you know, stranger things have happened, but, yeah, I can't find...
Trey, yeah, if the Sox pick 1 through 6 at all, they can't pick better than 10 next year.
This is where the anxiety comes in.
So that's where there's like an argument to be made that like, where is the pick that you're like, obviously you want to pick first, second or third. And then I think you'd rather pick fourth, but you'd rather pick 7 than 5 or 6, probably, in my opinion.
Yep. I agree with that.
Because if you're 7, like it still opens you up for like a top 6 pick next year. I don't know. I have no idea how good the 27 draft is. I'm just saying, like, it, you know, like picking 5 or 6 is kind of lame. And they do pick 2nd in every draft round after the 1st.
Yeah. This is, I don't know. Couple days, we're going to find out.
I do think, like, look, I like get excited, right? And like, get upset, whatever. But there is a chance, like in the next 48 hours here. And look, I think we've listened to other podcasts, and we just had Jeff Ponce, kind of talking about how he wasn't sure if, like, even if you like this core, right? I don't think anybody knows that you have like a superstar. Like, being able to land a Rokchelowski is potentially franchise changing. So, like, getting the number one pick in this draft is like a huge deal for the money, and because there's like a aircraft carrier like at the top of this class, and there just isn't always, right? Like, what happened last year happened because there wasn't like a definite top guy at the top, at the, you know what I mean? That's why that happened. There wasn't a Rokchelowski in last year's draft. So then teams start doing what they do and jockey for position, and things are weird at the top. I don't expect it to be like that this time.
I wouldn't go that far, Doug. I'd say 1 to 3.
Yeah, no, I think I'd even probably take 4 over 7, honestly, because I think in this class there's like 4 shortstops like at the top of it. But yeah, 5 or 6 would suck. Like that would be lame. And look, they have a 70% chance of getting a top 3 pick. Those are pretty good odds.
Yeah, I will see.
Yeah, Nick Kurtz is pretty good, Uncle Ted. But that was 2 years ago. That wasn't this past year.
How high is Landon Tomy expected to go?
I mean, Baseball America or MLB Pipeline just released their top 100, and he's at 47, I believe. So
that's roughly similar, right where Fauci was.
Similar,
right?
Range to Fauci, similar range to Bonomer, that type of guy. Probably second round ish. Talent that has to go in the comp round and get about $3 million, or he'll go to school.
Hmm. Baseball asks, who had the best odds last year? I can't remember.
The top odds last year?
The A's.
Who was the worst team in baseball? Well, the Sox are the worst team in baseball, so it wasn't them. It was whoever was like the second. I don't remember who was the second worst team behind them.
Yeah, it was either.
But the Nationals got the number one pick. I know that.
Yeah. Huh. I don't remember.
That's one thing
I don't remember, but I think it was the A's. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, so I will say, like, the only teams. So I talked about the back end of this. Like, Cincinnati would just get into 18 if the Mets would fall down, okay? Houston has a 0.34% chance to land the number one pick, okay? So they're likely picking at 17, then it would be like Kansas City, San Francisco, Texas, Arizona, up to 13. And then like Colorado, Washington, and the Angels are locked in at 10, 11, and 12, basically. So the teams up at the top with the White Sox are Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Athletics, and then the Braves. So. Yeah,
it was.
Watch the
Oakland.
Braves. Braves get number one. Insane. Just what they need.
Yeah, you want to see a meltdown.
Yeah.
Either the Twins or the Braves or the Orioles, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well,
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
All right. So you want to move to the Rule 5 preview here?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I like, right. I mean, I like the Rule 5. And look, I don't know that the White Sox are going to do much other than get a draft pick and draft a Rule 5 guy. So this might be like the highlight of our week.
Yeah, entirely possible. Although if you listen to Bruce Levine, he says that Luis Robert has to be traded. So
I mean, I'd be down for like a Luis Robert trade. I just don't know how likely it is.
I don't think it's going to happen, personally.
I mean,
what's up, Adrian?
I think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen like this week. Like,
I'll be shocked if it does happen.
Yeah, I guess I just, like, look around and see, like, the rest of the market, and I see that a guy like Mullins goes to the Rays for $7 million, and there's lots of teams with needs, and there's nobody available. Now, that means the White Sox are obviously going to have to come down on, like, a pretty substantial ask, and I have no idea when or, like, if they'll ever be willing to do that. So, yes, I think betting against him being traded is probably the smart move. Nothing would surprise me at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's see.
So Rule 5, they pick second.
Yeah.
That's Wednesday. I don't know what time it is Wednesday. It's usually in the morning,
like, in the morning,
and then people go
it?
Home. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like Eastern time, Orlando. So
no stream that day.
No. We'll just tweet about it, whatever. But I mean, yeah, so I wrote a preview. I put like 15 or so pitchers on here. I didn't even include position players because I just like don't think they're going to do that. But like one guy that I find pretty interesting is Carter Baumler, right-handed pitcher from the Orioles. So he's only 23. They took him out of Dowling Catholic High School in Iowa in the fifth round in 2020. A couple interesting things about that. The White Sox scouted him heavily. He was a member of their area codes team. So, you know, they always draft guys off their area codes team and they love Midwest players. Baumler's still just 23, but he really hasn't pitched very much. He's had a ton of injuries. He's had shoulder injuries. He had Tommy John surgery. He's a 6'2", 195-pound righty, but he was really good over his last, like, 16 innings, I think. He's been moved to the bullpen, I think, in AA with them. So I think his fastball, like, played up a little bit, like, mid-90s, and it's 20 inches of IVB, and then there's, like, a tight downer curveball that's his best secondary. But he doesn't really walk people either. So, you know, it is, like, an upside play because he's super young. It's a guy that they know. It's a guy that I know they have some level of interest in. I have no idea whether he's, like, the favorite. There were, like, a couple of names that I heard, but pretty sure it'll be pitching. I don't know how quickly we'll hear about the Rockies. I feel like Jonathan Mayo, was that like the day before he tweeted the White Sox were taking Shane Smith? So my guess is somebody will have like the Rockies pick at some point, like over the next couple of days.
I mean, that's usually there's one team that they got. So I guess we'll find out. So, I did in the stream description, link up your preview, and I will say that the guy that I'm looking at out of your list right there is somebody that Sleepy and I will certainly have at the top of our lists simply because his name is Jose Rodriguez. I like him.
Yeah, interesting hard delivery. Thrower.
Yeah, throws hard. Got some swing and miss stuff. And, also Dodgers system. So
yeah.
I think that's a...
Well, I know there's, like, certain guys who, like, Brian Bannister is like, nope, can't fix him. And I don't, you know, obviously we don't know who those guys are. But, you know, he could be, I don't know. I don't know if he's one of those guys. So I heard RJ Pettit, our big beefy man, like, they have some level of interest in him. He's 6'8", 300 pounds from the Tigers, and he was really good in the minors. And then I heard Brendan Beck, too, which is interesting. So, Bannister worked with Tristan Beck in San Francisco. Brendan is pitched at Stanford. He's like a top 15 prospect in the Yankee system, but he's like 27. He's another one of these like low 90s guys that just like knows how to pitch. So I think the question for the White Sox is like, do you want to take a Brendan Beck, have him compete for like a starting job, like in your pile of pitchers along with Sean Burke and Jonathan Cannon and those types of guys. And then you can like hide him in the bullpen in a long relief role. Or do you want to take like more of a traditional reliever, you know, and take your chance that way? I don't know. I don't really know what the preference is, but I do think Brendan Beck gets taken. Guy, like the Yankees have a million guys like this and they always get taken. I just don't know if it'll be the Sox or not.
Yeah. So where is it? Luke McDowell brings up one guy that we had talked about last year, wondering if he was going to be Rule 5 eligible last year, and he wasn't.
Griff McGarry?
This year, though, yeah.
Griff McGarry. He was last year, too. He just didn't get taken.
Oh, was he last year?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, he just walks everybody. His stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's one of those things. You're going to have to work that piece of the puzzle out, but... You know, I watched him with the Desert Dogs last year, and he was, you know, solid pitcher. That wouldn't be a bad one to grab either, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a few names there. Will Bednar he was a first round pick of the Giants when Brian Bannister was employed there. Same type of guy. Tons of walks. Super high octane fastball. He's been moved to the bullpen. You know, that's like an option. There's another reliever with the Yankees, Harrison Cohen. I have some video in my article here. And then like Zach McCambly has like pretty good stuff too, like out of Miami at a 260 FIP and 62 innings pitched in the high minors. He's an older, he's 26. He's a Coastal Carolina guy. So he runs the fastball up to 97 and throws a bunch of strikes. So like if it were hit, that's a guy that probably gets taken. I know that last week Sleepy brought up Yordani Monegro, who's super interesting, but he's 23. He's a starter. He's going to miss the whole season with Tommy John, but he's pretty nasty. So somebody probably takes that flyer and just ILs him all year. I just don't know if the White Sox are that team or not, obviously. But yeah, like I think they'll make their pick at two, and I think it'll be a pitcher in all likelihood.
Yeah, picking Monegro, that's a chess move right there.
I mean, if Colorado did it at one, though, I wouldn't be that stunned.
I mean, yeah, they could. I mean, they've got room.
I feel like that's the pick where if you're a Colorado or like one of these bad teams, you trade for like a second pick and take him. You know what I mean? Like, because teams like pass or trade all the time, right? Like, if you're like the Phillies, right, and your 40-man roster is full, like you can trade your pick for some, like to another team, basically. So that happens sometimes.
I'm with Trey on this. He says, LMAO, Will Bednar, I'm good.
Yeah, because I just think we've seen these guys. I think he goes to spring training. He's got good stuff, but he's walking people. They have eight bullpen guys better than him, and then you're just like sending him back to his original team.
Yeah,
like, you should be trying to take a guy that could stick.
Yeah, I've never been a guy that has really been into Bednar at all.
So Trey asked if any of the Sox players could get picked. Yeah, so, I mean, so Baseball America runs their list up to like 100 guys. they seem to think the most likely would be Peyton Paulette or Ben Peoples. I know Ian has speculated that he wouldn't be stunned to see Tyler Schweitzer go. It doesn't seem like anybody's going to do the Mason Adams thing. I hope not, obviously. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, that's, you're going to make a pick at two, and then you're kind of sitting here bracing yourself to see if they like lose anybody or not.
Yeah. That's pretty much where I'm at. I kind of Paulette, you know, possibly Peoples, although I don't know if anybody's going to, I mean, to be honest, I don't know if anybody's going to take Peoples. I don't know if there's enough upside there for them to grab him in the Rule 5 and think that he's going to stick all year. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Like, I just feel like, other teams have Peyton Paulette and Ben Peoples, like, in their system, probably.
Yeah, that is true. Possibly not as close. That's the only thing I'll say is that Paulette was pretty stinking close to making major league innings count. Yeah. So
I could see that.
Yeah, as Kev says, wouldn't be a show if I didn't bring up Mason Adams. Please don't pick him. Yes.
Yeah, no.
That would be tragic. He's getting married here in the next couple of weeks here.
Oh, man. Somebody has to move across the country. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's draft stream on Tuesday, everybody. At 4:25, we're going to hop on. We'll probably be on for like an hour. Wanted to reiterate that. We'll see what happens in the draft lottery.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting.
So one of the other interesting things that I saw was, it was from Buster Olney, talking about Mackenzie Gore, and this like wasn't something that I really thought about, but like, look, if Mackenzie Gore gets traded, I wouldn't be surprised, because it's a new young president of baseball ops who, like, why wouldn't you trade like these guys if you don't plan on being good, right? But one of the things that Buster Olney said was, if you have one of these guys who's like under contract for 2 years, and you don't trade him now, you like run the risk of like the lockout basically, and then never being able to trade him. So he thinks like some of these guys go, he thinks it's like a near certainty that Mackenzie Gore gets traded. I don't know if that's the same thing for, I think it's 2 years of control for Sandy Alcantara in Miami. So that was just like an interesting thing that, you know, I hadn't really thought about, just in regards to like, you might as well trade that guy now, because you're going to get 2 years of value for him and you don't know how much baseball will be played in 2027. I know I'm skeptical, but they've been kind of hammering this home.
Talk about playing chess. That is a chess move right there. You know, you're not going to be competing and you don't know if 2027 is necessarily going to happen. I mean, it may.
Yes. But I'm assuming there will be a 2027 season. If you don't trade him right away in that offseason, it's kind of weird. So I found that part interesting. And then I wanted to get into the division a little bit. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. Just like some of the decisions that are, so one of those guys too is Stephen Kwan, 2 years of control. Cleveland likely doesn't sign him. Should they trade him now? That sort of thing. But I do think it's interesting that Detroit is kind of slowly changing their tune a little bit on Skubal. If you've like paid attention to this, like at first they said like, no, there's no way that we can trade him, because like they want to get into the season, right? But I think they really, so they said they're listening. How likely is it that they like somebody just like blows the doors off, right? Because if you're the Mets, you know, like you could theoretically offer two basically big league ready starters. Like their system does have like lots of pitching in it. Like, does Detroit, because like what's the like the alternative for Detroit is you take him into the season and like you try to win a title, but if it goes bad in the first half, you trade him at the deadline anyway. I don't know that like you wouldn't get a lot more now. So like following Detroit with Skubal I think is interesting. And then the Twins, like this has to be posturing, right, from the Twins, this like they're not going to trade their guys spiel, because they dumped everything at the deadline. Like if they had a bullpen guy with 3 years of team control, they traded him, right? which is like the biggest indicator of all indicators that like you're selling and, you know, you're whatever, tanking, like whatever you want to call it. So they have Joe Ryan, right? And they have Byron Buxton and they have Pablo Lopez. All three of those guys. They could cash all three of those guys in and actually rebuild. Now they're saying they're going to build around those guys. Like they need like seven bullpen guys. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know if they're posturing or if like they really are going to, it's just, I don't know. Like keeping those players like doesn't make any sense to me if you're the Minnesota Twins right now.
Twins haven't traded Jeffers, have they yet?
No, they have not, but they traded a ton of pitching.
So I thought I was trying to think of who it was that I saw that they were trying to. Oh, it was the Phillies, I think.
Somebody's interested in him, right? Yeah, because I don't know that they're going to sign Real Muto. It seems like Real Muto might leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the Phillies. I asked how long their window was the other day.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah, and then Uncle Ted, like I kind of agree. Like Peralta. He said is 1,000% gone in Milwaukee. I could see that. He's on a 1-year deal basically. And when you're the Brewers, you just like can't really afford to not do that. If he leaves next year in free agency, like in theory, they would get a first round pick when he leaves. But I mean, you could probably get more than that. Now they did the same thing with Corbin Burns last year with 1 year of control.
Yeah. And Uncle Ted. Where is it?
Where he said the Phillies want Carroll?
Phillies want Carroll. My question is, how does it feel to want?
I know, right?
No.
I'd like Aiden Miller.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah, that's not coming.
Yeah, right. So, you know, it doesn't really make any sense. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up, baseball. So, Red Sox, yes, trading the password to Pittsburgh. So he's basically big league ready. So this is like one of those moves that like, I bet Pittsburgh makes a couple of more moves like this. They've offered a free agent contract to Kyle Schwarber. That's in excess of $100 million. So now the Pirates are paying more money for players than the White Sox are. So that's frustrating. But yes. Yeah, so Justinkson Garcia, how do you say it?
John Stinkson.
Yes. They call him the password. So, you know, there's some power potential there. Probably a corner guy should be in Pittsburgh this year. They traded Juan Oviedo, who's like a data darling. We talked about Boston last week a little bit, and Craig Breslow, it seems like, is really into the trade market for pitching instead of like paying top dollar. Now he's made two trades for pitching. So Oviedo's had some injuries, but he could slide into that rotation for Boston. So I thought that deal was a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I would say that the Red Sox are not dumb for trading him. I think that they have enough guys that I don't think that it matters.
Well, so they're actually trying to trade like actual good players too.
Yeah,
Boston is. You know, like Willier Abreu can really help somebody. You know, like he's pretty good, and they might end up trading him because they have so many outfielders.
Yeah, they have a bunch, you know. They got they got rid of Brayton Montgomery within the last year. I mean, they just keep on sending these guys out, and it doesn't seem to, you know. Yeah. They've got enough guys on their major league roster. I don't think it really matters.
So Jay McNasty, I actually don't think that's like enough for the White Sox. So he said Grant Taylor and Caro for Miller, Justin Crawford, and one or two more guys. I'm not a Justin Crawford guy. And if you see what, you know, like premium relievers like that, like if they actually traded Grant Taylor, I think they'd get a ton for him. I think it would be like a lot more than that.
Yeah, he's worth a lot, in my opinion. So let's get to some other stuff here. Notre Dame, your feelings on the Notre Dame playoffs?
Well, so here's the thing. Like, I don't like Notre Dame, but they might be the best team in the country right now, and they're like not in this stupid playoff thing. Like, the head to head matters, which is why you had to put Miami in instead of them. But as somebody who is like a believe it or not, I'm a casual college football fan. Like, I didn't go to a school that had a team. Like, I coach high school football and I watch the NFL. So, like, you know, guys, like, I'd like to stay married. Like, I don't also do college football all day on Saturday. But with that being said, like, I don't need to see James Madison or Tulane play football. Like, I just don't. So, like, find a way to get the top teams in this thing, and, like, then Notre Dame could be in it too. It does seem like major changes will be coming if you're a college football fan, though, because this is basically the impetus to pull this, to push this thing to 16 or 18, because now, like, Notre Dame and some of these teams have declined bowl game bids. Did you see that? So they've basically said, like, okay, you didn't put me in the tournament. We're done for the year.
We're not making you any money either.
We're not playing one of your stupid bowl games.
Yeah.
So then they started inviting all these 5 and 7 teams. And those teams are like, well, like, our players are at home. Like we basically, our season was done. No, I'm not going to, like, get our team back together to play, like, some exhibition bowl game. So, yeah, the whole sport is, like, kind of turned on its head. I think ultimately this thing turns into, like, a 16-game playoff or a 16-team playoff, and then nobody's going to care if you leave out the 17th or 18th team. So that's probably ultimately where it goes. It, I mean, you know, I guess it probably sucks for Notre Dame fans, but whatever.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I'm a anti Notre Dame guy personally. So
yeah, I kind of am too. I just,
yeah. So the tears for me are, I find it humorous.
I am pretty surprised they didn't get them in though, because they're a huge draw.
Like, Notre Dame's a huge
moneymaker.
Yeah, huge. I'm actually kind of shocked that they, and you know, Notre Dame fans have absolutely no right to say that somebody's picking on them, because they've been like the belle of the ball for years and years and years, where they get, you know, put in the playoffs, you know, or put in like this bowl game or that bowl game, you know, like, you know, national TV contracts and all that. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Whatever.
Oh yeah. Vandy didn't get in, huh?
No, they did not.
Oh boy.
No, there's like a whole bunch of SEC teams in though. So
Did you hear the interview?
Yeah, I saw it. These kids are so weird. The way he plays too, like, he gets like Kirk Cousins comparisons. Somebody last night said that he's a 12 alcohol by volume version of Kirk Cousins. So he's like double like whatever Kirk Cousins is. Like, you know, like just by the way he plays.
Yeah. To quote him, you like that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, all right. So I'm just going to call it, unless you've got something important to talk about.
Oh, no. I think we're done. Right. We're going to be back in 48 hours, you know, in 2 days.
Exactly.
Do another short show. That show will basically, like, be determined by what pick they get. Like, we might just, like, turn off the computer. So, and just end the show.
Just hold it and kill it.
Yeah. But, you know, I can't remember if they – I really don't. I don't remember if they go 4-5-6 and then take another break or not. I don't really remember what they do.
I mean, we said that we were going to allot an hour to it. So, yeah. I mean, it'll –
Yeah, we'll be on like 4:25 or so until
– Yeah.
Like 5:20 or something like that.
Yeah, we'll be on minimum of like 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, 5:30 Eastern, Kev. And then are you going to try to, like, Mike, project it like we did for the draft? Where you have it up in the middle here, or are we just going to watch it?
Oh, yeah. I'll
you'll have it up on our screen?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so if you guys want to hop on, it will be on the stream as well, because it's going to be coming right from MLB's feed. So I'll just put it up here on the screen, and we'll talk over the top of it until it's time for the pick, and then I'll unmute it, and it'll be up here in its glory.
Yeah, and I'll try to do my best in, like, explaining, like, what it means, like, second by second. Like, that sometimes the people that are doing the show don't even really understand what things mean. Because it happened with the Mets, like, last year, where I knew that their pick went back 10 spots, and that had already happened because a team jumped them, and, like, the panel didn't even, like, understand that. So, we'll see.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, all righty. I'm going to go ahead and walk us out, and we will see you guys on Tuesday. You have been watching / listening to the Future Sox podcast, part of the Just Baseball Media Network. If you are listening to this in podcast form, know that you can find us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on YouTube and the Purple app, as well as this Tuesday for the draft lottery at 4:30 Central Time, 5:30 Eastern. You can also find this podcast along with all of our written content at futuresox.net. If you are looking for White Sox prospect highlights, you can find them on X at Future Sox and now also here on our YouTube channel. If you love the content and want to support us here at Future Sox, there is a link to our Patreon in our channel description and at futuresox.net. You can also toss up a super chat on our YouTube stream. Also, don't forget to like this stream and subscribe with notifications so you know when we're going live while helping us in the World Wide Web algorithms. My name is Ian Eskridge at Daily White Sox. He is James Fox at JamesFox917. We appreciate all of you. Thanks for hanging out, guys. Thanks for hopping in the chat and asking all the questions. You guys rock. Come visit us on Tuesday for the draft lottery. We'll catch you on Tuesday at 4:30 Central. Thanks. Have a great night.